All right, we're going to start here by the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Bet Amud Bet. The Gemara is addressing the issue in the Mishnah, which is Lulav Avarava Shisha V'Shiva. We said in the Mishnah that the Lulav is taken either 6 days or 7 days. And we said that it's taken 7 days when Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat. But if the Shabbat falls out on any other day during the holiday of Sukkot, you only take it 4 or 6 days because of the problem of Shabbat. Mara wants to know, why is it that on Shabbat, lulav is a problem? Because amai, total bealmahu, lidche Shabbat. There's no problem, there's no isur in taking the lulav, mitzad atzmo, you're just carrying the lulav. You're not doing anything that is illegal on Shabbat when you take the lulav. So why is it that we can't take the lulav on Shabbat? This is the famous gzeira derabo, which is amarabo gzeira, shemit lenabi ado, veilech etzel baki lumod. He'll take it in his hand, he'll take it over to the baki to learn. Ravirenu, dalet amot b'shut rabim. He'll carry it 4 amot in b'shut rabim. Behainu, taima de shofar. Behainu, taima de megillah. It's the same reason we don't read the megillah on Shabbat. And it's the same reason we don't blow the shofar on Shabbat. So all of these three mitzvot, I mean, megillah is only derabbanon, but shofar, which is doraita, nulav, which is doraita, we suspend them on Shabbat because of this issue. Of Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amot Birshut Rabim, because you may carry it 4 amot in Rishut Rabim.
But what, okay, I can understand what Shofar Megillah, there's some level of bekiut that's needed. What bekiut is needed for Netilat
Lulav? Right, so in Netilat Lulav, in terms of what's the bekiut, the bekiut that Rashi talks about is that he wants to know how to say the brachot, how to do the nanunim. But I would think that also just like we have today, where you want to show him your lulav, even though, again, the Gemara says lumo, to learn something, but also to show him, is it kosher, there's a problem with it. There are many reasons to take a lulav and a trog to the baki. But in order to prevent the problem of carrying it for a mot, with shuter abim, they instituted that you would not take the lulav on Shabbat, ele'im kain, it falls out on the first day of Yom Tov. Now, Rashi here discusses why the Gemara only focuses on Maviro, Dalet Amot, Bishut Rabim. Does not say you can carry it from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. You just have as big a problem if you take it from your house into the Rishut Rabim. So Rashi says that the majority of instances where you're going to have a problem is where you carry it for Amot, Bishut Rabim, because there are ways where it would not be a problem of carrying Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. Tosafot challenges that. And for that reason, we come up with a number of Chidushim here with regards to carrying Dalet Amot Rishut Rabim, which focus around whether you need an Akira in the Rishut Rabim. Do you actually have to have an Akira in Rishut Rabim in order to carry it 4 amot in Rishut Rabim? Akira, sorry, is to pick it up. In order to be Chayav by carrying in Shabbat, you have to be Oker, you have to lift the object up from a location and then put it down in another location. So that in order to have Hotzah, you need those two aspects. So here, do you need to have an akira, which just means you have to lift it up in Rishut Rabim and then put it down in Rishut Rabim to be Mavir Dalet Amot Rishut Rabim? But if you start in Rishut Yachid and end up in Rishut Yachid and just walk all the way through Rishut Rabim, it's not a problem of carrying 4 amot in Rishut Rabim because you never did an akira and hanacha in the Rishut Rabim. Those issues come up here and you get machloket arishonim about this, which obviously has nafkamina dalocha. In order to be chayav for carrying it in 4 amot Rishut Rabim, do you actually have to lift it in the Rishut Rabim and put it down in Rishut Rabim? Or if you can lift it up in a Karmelit and then just walk out and you'll be Chayav, can you lift it up in Rishut Yachid and walk out and still be Chayav? And that's what they're grappling with in terms of this question, why the Gemara only focused on Dalet Amot Rishut Rabim and not from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. It says, Yihochi, Yom Rishon Nami, how come on the first day you're allowed to take Tugulav? If we're worried about carrying 4 amot Rishut Rabim, that's a Doraita problem. That should be a problem not only on the other 6 days, it should be a problem if the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbat as well. Rishon ha-takinu le-rabbonon be-beito. Did you just tell us before that they stopped carrying the lulav in the Mikdash and they forced everybody to do it in their house? So there's no problem with carrying it Rishut Rabim because everybody is going to keep it in their house. It says, ha-tinach achar takana. That works well after the takana was in place. But kodem takana ma'igil meimar. Before they put the takana in place, there was obviously people carrying the lulav from their house to the mikdash, and that would have been a problem. Ela, Rishon de ita mina Torah b'gvulin lo gazru berabanan. Rishon, which is a very significant day, significant not only that you take it in the mikdash mina Torah, but even outside of the mikdash, the din or the mitzvah of lulav is midoraita. So since the mitzvah of lulav is deoraita, we say, all right, you'll take it on Shabbat, and we'll be careful. Hanach let nehum mina Torah b'gvulin. On the other hand, the other 6 days where there's no mitzvah outside of the mikdash to take the lulav, There's only a mitzvah de'oraita in the Mikdash to take the ulav, which is machtem lifnei Hashem lokeichem shivat yamim. Before Hashem, it's for 7 days. So gazaruhu berabbanon. Here the rabbanon were gozer. As Rashi points out, gazaruhu berabbanon mishum chumra de Shabbat af b'mikdash. Because of the chumra of Shabbat, even in the Mikdash they didn't take it when it came out on Shabbat. Not to take it in the gvulin, fine. But even in the Mikdash, where it's de'oraita, they didn't take it on Shabbat when Shabbat was not the first day of Yom Tov. Rashi asks the famous question, how could it be that the rabbanon are causing you to suspend the mitzvah de'oraita? We have it by shofar on Shabbat, we have it by lulav on Shabbat. Why is that? So Rashi says, as the Gemara says in Yevamot, shev ve'altase shayni, that the rabbanon can ask you passively to violate the de'oraita. We're not actively asking you to do an isur, we're just asking you to desist from doing a mitzvah tase, and that the rabbanon have the power to do. Shev ve'altase. Mar says, Yochi ayidna nami. He says, how come today we don't take the lulav on the first day? If the case is that when it's d'oraita everywhere, you take it on Shabbat, when it's not d'oraita, we suspend it, then today, where mitzvah lulav is d'oraita on the first day, how come we don't take it on Shabbat? Anan lo yadinan b'kivua di'archa. We don't know exactly when the day of Rosh Chodesh is, because of the safek, because of the uncertainty outside of Eretz Yisrael as to when the day of Rosh Chodesh was. It says, Inhu di ade bikivua di archa. Those that do know, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, where they do know it, lidchu, then it should be doche. It says, Enochanami. That's right. It's right. In Eretz Yisrael, it should be doche et Shabbat. I'm not using doche loosely, because there's no dechia of Shabbat. All you're doing is carrying the lulav. But the mitzvah of lulav will not be suspended. That means if Shabbat coincides with the first day of Yom Tov, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you would not take the lulav. Inside of Eretz Yisrael, you would take the lulav on the first day when it falls out on Shabbat. It's not. It's b'yom tov rishon shel chag shechal yot b'shabbat kolam olichim et luvim lahar abayit. First day of Yom Tov coincides with Shabbat. Kolam olichim et luvim lahar abayit. That was our Mishnah here. It says that if it fell out in that manner, they used to take their lulavim before Shabbat and put them in the Mikdash. Vitznan. And we have another Mishnah, which is the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the previous parak, which is at the Beit HaKnesset. They used to take them to the shul beforehand. Shema mina. Kam zman she beit mikdash kayam. Kam zman she beit mikdash kayam. Why do you have two mishnayot? One mishnah describes the process or procedure when they brought it to the mikdash, and another case when they brought it to the Beit Knesset. Why do you have two mishnayot? So Gemara says, no problem. It's a time sequence. One is when the mikdash is around. It described what they did in bringing it to the mikdash. When the Mikdash is no longer around, it was destroyed, they still had the practice to bring it to the Beit Knesset before Shabbat. When did that happen, or where did that happen? Shema Mina, that happened in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, where Shabbat and the first day of Yom Tov coincided, they still took the lulav on the first day of Yom Tov. Now, Mar says, De'ite min Torah b'gvulin minolan. How do you know that on the first day of Yom Tov, it's a mitzvah de'oraita to take the lulav, not only in the Mikdash, but also in the Gvulin. Where do you know that information from? D'tanya, we have a brayta. Lakachtem, she'ei tihei likicha b'yad kol echad v'echad. We already have gone through this pasuk a number of times in many of these limudim. Lakachtem is that there should be a likicha by each individual. That's true of any time the pasuk uses a plural form, like usvartem lachem mimachat ha-shabbat. There should be svira l'kol echad v'echad. There's a demand that each person count the omer individually. When it says it in the singular, v'safarta l'cha, that's like by the yovel, that's an obligation on Klal Yisrael as a whole, obligation on Beit Din. So the fact that it says here, v'lakachtem in the plural form means that every individual must take the lulav. There's not one lulav taken on behalf of everyone else. Lachem, mishi lachem. Lachem means it's gotta be yours. That means it excludes. Otzita sha'ul v'ta gazul. Something that's borrowed, something that's stolen. We spent plenty of time on that. That lachem means it's gotta be your lulav on the first day. Fayom. Afilu b'Shabbat, on the day, even on Shabbat. So here's your limud, that even on Shabbat, it overrides. Rishon, afilu b'gulvulin. And Rishon, on the first day, means even outside of the Mikdash, they took lulav. HaRishon, melameid she'inu doche el yom tov Rishon bilvad. It only is doche, the yom tov Rishon bilvad, meaning that you only take it on the first day of Yom Tov, meaning Gvulin, are only d'oraita on the first day, because HaRishon means the Rishon, and that's it. Nothing besides Rishon. That it overrides Shabbat. So the mitzvah d'oraita outside of the Mikdash in the Gvulin only applies on Yom Rishon. So Amar, v'yom afilu b'Shabbat, You have a limud here that during the day, even on Shabbat, michte tiltol ba'almohu. There's no problem of taking lulav on Shabbat. Why do you need a pasuk to tell you that you can take the lulav on Shabbat? Why would you have a havamina that you couldn't take the lulav on Shabbat? There's no reason not to take the lulav on Shabbat. How do you need a mitzvah d'oraita to tell you to take it on Shabbat when there's no reason d'oraita not to take it on Shabbat? It's shechra, the mishrei tiltol. You need a pasuk to tell you that you can carry a lulav? Merov lo mitzvacha lo makshirei lulav. It's coming to tell you that you're allowed to be doche Shabbat for makshire lulav according to this Tana. This is Tana is Rabbi Eliezer de Mila in the Perek and Shabbat that allows makshire mila or any makshire mitzvah to be doche to Shabbat. Not only is the mitzvah doche Shabbat, but the facilitating of the mitzvah is doche Shabbat. You're right. In terms of the lulav itself, you can pick it up and there's no violation of Shabbat. You don't need a pasuk for that. What you do need a pasuk for is to facilitate that. What happens if the lulav is still attached and you cut it, or the etrog is still attached and you sever it on Shabbat? That would be a violation d'oraita. How do I know that's mutar? According to Rabbi Eliezer, Tanya, lulav v'chol machshirav dochim et haShabbat, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer believes that even the preparation of the lulav means tying the agate, cutting it off the tree, all those items are doche Shabbat, and that's learned out of this pasuk. Otherwise, you don't need the pasuk to tell you it's doche Shabbat. It says, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer, Makra, Bayom, Vafilu b'Shabbat. That's the limud out of the pasuk that we just had, that during the day, even on Shabbat. Rabbanan, I Bayom, my Abdilei. What do the Rabbanan do with that Yom? Mi Bayle, Bayom, Velo Velayla. To teach it that mitzvah gulav only applies during the day, and not at night. Rabbi Eliezer, Bayom, Velo Velayla, Menale. Where does Rabbi Eliezer know that the mitzvah gulav only has application during the day and not at night? Nafkalei, Mi Seifet Dekro. He learns it out of the latter half of the pasuk, which is, Samachtem, Lifnei Hashem, Elokeichem, Shivat Yamim. So there, Yamim, Velo Leilot. During the day and not at night. Rabbanon, imahatam. Why don't the Rabbanon learn it out from Yomim as well? Because if we learned it out from Yomim, havamina leilef Yomim, Yomim misukah. I would have thought, well, let's just learn like Yomim that we have by Sukkah. Malahalan Yomim vafilu leilot. By Sukkah, we say that when it says Yomim, it means day and night. So afkan, gavei, nami Yomim vafilu leilot. So to hear by lulav, we'll say day and night. Where it says v'sukah gufa minolan. How do you know Sukkah applies during the day and the night? If it says, the Tanur Banan, Sukkot Teshvu, Shivat Yamim, so Shivat Yamim should mean during the day and not at night. So how do we know that that's not the case? The Braita says, it says over here, Yamim, Vafilu, Elelot. When it says Yamim, it means day and even night. You have to know that in general, in the Torah, whenever you use the term Yom or Yamim, there's two possibilities of what it means. Yom or Yamim can mean day, day as opposed to night. Or Yamim can mean day 24 hours, mean the day of, which includes the day and the night. So anytime you have the word Yom or Yamim, you have to clarify whether it means daytime or it means the 24-hour day. So here the Gemara is suggesting by Lulav, Yom or Yamim means not the day as in the 24-hour period, but day meaning daytime. The Gemara says by Sukkah, that's not the case. By Sukkah, Yamim means the days of, meaning the 24-hour periods of the 7 days of Sukkot. Question is why? Why by Sukkah do we say that? And by Lulav are we saying something different? So Atah Omer Yamim Vafilu Lelot, Oenu Elo Yamim Velo Lelot. How do you know which way to read it? How do you know to read it, meaning daytime versus day? Dvedinu Nemar Kan Yamim V'Nemar Lulav Yamim. You can learn it the other way around. It says Yamim by Sukkah, and it says Yamim by Lulav. Malahal Yamim Velo Lelot. By Lulav, where we said it's daytime and not at nighttime. Avkan Yamim Velo Lelot. So let's say the same thing over here. Daytime and not at night. Oklach L'derech Zu. Or maybe, look at it the other way. Nemar Kan Yamim V'Nemar Miluim Yamim. Says Yamim here. And it says Yamim by the Miluim. Malahal Yamim Vafilu Lelot. By the Miluim, where we know day means all day, 24 hours. Avkan Yamim Vafilu Lelot. So to over here by Sukkah, it should be that the day means the day of 24 hours, not day time. By the Miluim, it says, "Upetach Chol Moed Teshvu Yomam V'Laila." You have to stay by Petach Chol Moed day and night. And it also says there, "Umipetach Chol Moed Lo Teitzu Shivat Yamim." So the Shivat Yamim by the Miluim, we're certain means 24-hour periods, because it specifically says that you have to stay there day and night. So if the Yamim by Miluim means 24-hour periods, the Yamim by Sukkah should mean the same thing. So Nira le Midomet. Which one is it more similar to? Is it more similar to Lulav? Is it more similar to the Miluim? Danim davar shemitzvato kol yom, mi davar shemitzvato kol yom. Ve'ayuchiach davar shemitzvato sha'achat. Let's compare Sukkah, whose mitzvah persists all day. Anytime you want to eat, anytime you want to sit, sleep, you got to be in the Sukkah. Like Miluim, where mi petach ho'moed lo teitzu, can't leave petach ho'moed by the Miluim, that means all day. They're there the entirety of the day. There's no leaving the Petach HaMoed. Whereas by Lulav, it's Sha'achat. Lulav, the mitzvah, yes, the mitzvah can be accomplished over the whole day, but you yourself will never have the mitzvah all day. As soon as you do the mitzvah, it's done. You just pick it up, and Tzvah Lulav is completed within a short moment. So, do we compare persistent mitzvot to a momentary mitzvah? No. So the two persistent mitzvot should be compared, and that's Miluim and Sukkah.
Isn't that a bit of circular reasoning?
Sukkah, even if it's just during the day, it wouldn't cover the entire day. Persisting mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah that's momentary. Oklach l'derek zu. Or maybe we should look at it the other way. Danim, davar shemitzvato l'dorot, midavar shemitzvato l'dorot. Sukkah and Lulav are mitzvot that continue forever. Miluim was a one-time affair by the consecration of the Mishkan. So Talmud Omar, teshvu l'gzeira shavu. So Gemara in the end says it's not a logical argument. It's a gzeira shavu. We just said before by the Miluim, it says, mepetach HaMoed lo teitzu shivat yamim. And it also says, mepetach HaMoed teshvu yomam v'layla. So teshvu there. And by the Sukkah, we say, B'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim. So that gzeirah shavah of teshvu, which means that the dwelling should be similar in the Miluim as it is to the Sukkah. So, Nemakan teshvu, whenever Miluim teshvu, Malahalan yamim, af leilot, afkan yamim, ve'afilu leilot. Just like over there, it means yamim and also nighttime. Also over here, it means daytime and nighttime. So we learn it out in the end, not from logic, but simply as a gzeirah shavah. And the gzeirah shavah teaches us that Sukkah and Miluim are parallel, and Sukkah applies not just during the day, but during the days of the Shivat Yamim, all 24 hours of those days. We don't have such a limud by Lulav, and therefore Lulav is only during the daytime, whereas by Sukkah, it's similar to Miluim that you do it for the 24-hour periods.
Is there some level of consistency?
To be honest, the general default is Bayom means during the day, and not the 24-hour period. I think I would say that's the general default, and that when they want to make it into the 24-hour period, then they need a limud. The lesser of the chidushim is to say that it's daytime. And that generally will be the default. I'm not saying that it's perfectly consistent in the Gemara, but generally that will be day and not night, and then you have to have a limud, like by Brit Milah. We almost assume that the Om means during the day, not at night. All right. Arova Shiva Ketzad. So the mission not only was there a possibility of having Lulav for 7 days, there was also a possibility of having the Arava for 7 days. So Arava Bishvi, my time Adachia Shabbat. Why is Arava Duchei Shabbat on the seventh day? Yochanan today the farsama shehi min haTorah. Make it clear that this is a din min haTorah. The Arava is not explicit in the Torah, and so it's not so well known that the mitzvah of Arava applies midoraita to the 7 days of Sukkot, just like we have it by Lulav. So Lulav is 7 days. It says v'smachtam lefnei Hashem lekechem shivat yamim. So there we have a clear indication of the fact that Lulav exists for 7 days midoraita in the Mikdash, and by Yom HaRishon in the Gvulin. The mitzvah Rava, which is in the Mikdash, around the Mizbeach, how do you know that it exists for 7 days? How do you know that it's minatorah whatsoever? That's either Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, one option, or the other option is that Arvei Nachal. It's written in plural, and therefore there's a Rava of the Lulav and a Rava of the Mikdash. Neither of those is explicit. Both of them are either not written at all or hinted to in the Pasuk. So how do we make it clear that it's a mitzvah d'oraita? You'd say you do it on Shabbat. That's like the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is you do a mitzvah on Shabbat despite the fact that it's Shabbat. That tells you that this is something significant. This has weight because it's min haTorah. Gemara says, Yochi lulav nami lidchu, de'lefar samoshu min haTorah. Why don't you do the same thing by lulav? Lulav should be doche Shabbat so that everybody knows that it is clear that it's min haTorah. Because yes, the first day it's clear by Lulav that it is d'oraita, but on the other hand, what about the remaining 6 days? That's not explicitly written in the Torah, even though it says, v'samachtem lifnei Hashem l'kohechem shivat yamim, it's not so obvious. So if we're out to publicize mitzvot that aren't clear, then we should publicize it with regards to Lulav with the remaining 6 days, in order to make sure that people know that it's a din d'oraita in the Mikdash for all 7 days. Lulav gzeirah mishum d'rabo. The Lulav is a problem of the Gzeira of Rabbo. You're right. Ein Ochanami, we would do that. But the problem is carrying it for Amot Bishut Rabim. See, Hachi Arova, Nami Nigzor. Why don't you have the same problem by Arova? Why don't you say by the Arava that everybody's going to carry it to Dalet Amot Bishut Rabim and it'll be a problem? Where it says, the Arava, Shluchei Beitin Maitila. Lulav, Lakhol Masur. It's a big difference. Lulav is a mitzvah of the masses. Everybody takes the Lulav. Everybody is subject to the mitzvah of Lulav. Everybody's going to have issues with their lulav, and you're going to have a problem of carrying it out. Arava is a singular mitzvah that is done in the Mikdash, and the Shluchei Beitin are the ones who bring the Arava. We're not going to worry about them carrying it to Aramot. They are under the auspices of the Beitin. This is not something that's given over to the masses. And that is because the Shluchei Beitin bring it to the Mikdash, and in the Mikdash itself, the performance can only be done by the Kohanim because it's associated with the Mizbeach. And they have to walk Ben Ulan the Mizbeach, which is limited to Kohanim, and the Kohanim are Zizime. So here where performance is only done by the Kohanim, we won't suspend it. Whereas by Lulav, yes, there's a performance by the Kohanim in the Mikdash, but there's also a performance of the Am outside of the Mikdash or Zeich in the Mikdash. Since it's been suspended for the rest of Am Yisrael, we'll suspend it for the Kohanim in the Mikdash as well. Gemara says, okay, if that's already your logic, so then if that's the case, let it be Doche Shabbat no matter when it falls out. Why is it only Doche Shabbat when it falls out on the seventh day? It should be Doche Shabbat no matter which day of the week it falls out, because number one, we want to make it clear that it's Minat Torah. And number two is, Shluchei Beitin, there's nothing to worry about here. They're going to start demeaning the mitzvah of Lulav. They're going to say, Lulav only is Doche Shabbat for one day. If Shabbat falls out any other day of the week, Lulav is not Doche to Shabbat. On the other hand, Arava is Doche Shabbat no matter when it falls out. So then they're going to look at that and say, yeah, Lulav can't be that important to mitzvah because it's not Doche Shabbat. If Shabbat falls out in the middle of Chol HaMoed, Arava will be Doche Shabbat in the Mikdash. Lulav will not be Doche Shabbat in the Mikdash. That'll make it seem like Lulav is not such an important mitzvah vis-a-vis Arava, which is obviously not true. So in order to prevent that type of equation arising, they said that Arava only gets one day, just like Lulav only gets one day.
Why is it like generally, like in the Mikdash, they did all kinds of things on Shabbat?
Chumrat the Shabbat exists, even inside the Mikdash. When we say that the Dinei Darabanan are suspended in the Mikdash, there are certain Dinei Darabanan that are not suspended in the Mikdash. And the Gemara, in some places, doesn't, Tosfot mentions it in some places. Rashi already mentioned here is Chumrat the Shabbat. Sometimes that Shabbat is weighs in, and we say, no go. Even when it didn't Darabanan.
Again, when you say
Doche, Doche Shabbat over here is used in the term loosely, because it's not really Doche Shabbat. You don't do anything with the Arava or the Lulav that is Doche Shabbat. Doche Shabbat means just, we do it on Shabbat in this case. Doche Shabbat does not mean that you're allowed to carry it on Shabbat, you're allowed to violate the Shabbat for it. All it means is that we allow you to do it on Shabbat. They're using Doche to Shabbat because of the Gzeira that suspends it on Shabbat. Right, I agree with you. It's not clear, but the Gemara is using the term loosely here, not to mean you're really Doche Shabbat or Doche Yom Tov. It means that simply that you will perform the mitzvah on that day. Right, so the Gemara says, V'lidche b'yom tov rishon. Why don't you have Arova override Shabbat in the case where it falls out on the first day, when it coincides, the first day of Yom Tov coincides with Shabbat? Why do you make it on the seventh day? Why Arova on the seventh day and Lulav on the first day? Should make Arova on the first day as well? Right, says, V'mucha milta. It's not clear then. Amrei lulavu de kadochi. They're going to say the reason that Arava gets this dispensation on the first day is because lulav overrides. So since lulav rides, so do Arava rides. So it's not going to grant significance to Arava by itself. And what we're trying to do here is grant Arava significance by itself in order to make it clear that this is a din d'oraita. In order to do that, you have to give it its own day. So in order to do that, you have to separate it from the first day where lulav overrides on Shabbat. So Mar says, why did you pick the seventh day? And what's so special about the seventh day versus any other day? Once you just need to separate it from the first day, just make it the second day, the third day. Why do you have to make it the seventh day? It's just a general principle that the beginning and the end are significant. So since you didn't do it on the beginning day, because then it would be subsumed under lulav, you moved it to the last day, because first day and last day have significance. Something in the middle doesn't have as much significance. Mar says, Ihochi, so this is the big question. Today, why don't we have it on Hoshana Rabbah? You would take the Arova even on the seventh day. Anan lo yadinan bikivua diarcha. We aren't certain about Kviyata diarcha. We don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. We don't know exactly which day is the right day. Mar says, Inu diade bikivua diarcha didche. In Eretz Yisrael, where they do know it, let Arova be taken on Shabbat itself. Kiata bar hadayo amar lo ikla. It can't fall out. Calendar is set in such a way that Hoshana Rabbah will never fall out on Shabbat. So the question drops, not because it's not a good question, but because it can never exist. We create it so that Hoshana Rabbah will never fall out on Shabbat. When Raven came and all those that descend from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amrei, Ikla v'lo dochi. It does fall out. Hoshana Rabba does fall out on Shabbat, and it's not docheta Shabbat. Pelakasho. So wait a minute. What are you doing then? Do you have a serious question here? We know Gavia Diarcho. Why in Eretz Yisrael do you not take a Rava on Hoshana Rabba when it does fall out on Shabbat? He's saying that it does fall out on Shabbat, and yet they don't take it on Shabbat. In the previous situation, when we talked about Lulav, the Gemara's conclusion was, in Chutz Laretz, you're not allowed to take lulav when the first day falls out on Shabbat, but in Eretz Yisrael they could take it on the first day when it falls out on Shabbat. How come the Gemara has a different conclusion here with regards to Arava? Why by Arava do we not say the same thing, which is you should take it on the seventh day when it falls out on Shabbat? Here we're getting information from Eretz Yisrael that even though it fell out on Shabbat, they did not take the Arava on Shabbat. Rav Yosef, man leimelon d'arava b'netila. Who says that the mitzvah Arava is simply to take it? Dilma b'skifa. Maybe the mitzvah is to stand it up. Now, why that makes a difference is because if the carrying of the arava is the mitzvah, then you don't need to make the mikdash technically. You can carry the arava even without the mikdash. On the other hand, if the mitzvah of arava is zikifa, to stand it up next to the mizbeach, then you need a mizbeach in order to do the mitzvah arava. So if there's no mikdash, there is no mitzvah arava. So the Gemara is saying here, I'll explain to you the problem. The problem is that it just doesn't exist, the mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah is all midrabanan now. There's no mitzvah deoraita left because you would require a mizbeach in order to do the mitzvah deoraita. So now that we don't have a mikdash, there's no mitzvah deoraita left. There's no mitzvah deoraita left. There's no reason to have it, quote unquote, suspend Shabbat and do the mitzvah on Shabbat. Now, in both instances, it would be zeicha le mikdash. Whether it is chavoto and netilo and it's zeicha le mikdash, or whether the mitzvah is zikifa as zeicha le mikdash, they're both dinei derabonon. But when it comes to netila, there's some way for us to replicate that zeichon hamikdash and have a performance of it that would be zeichon hamikdash. On the other hand, if the zekifa, which is directly connected to the standing it up by the mizbeach, if that's the mitzvah, then there's no real way to replicate that to make it into zeichon hamikdash. Et ve'abaye, is that really true? Lulav varava shisha v'shiva. My love, kilulav. Just like lulav. My lulav minitila, farava minitila. The fact that our Mishnah puts them together would indicate that they're the same type of mitzvah. It says, mideiria. Why does it have to be? Each one according to its own thing. Hadikidite v'akidite. Each one according to its mitzvah. The reason they're grouped together is because they have that same phenomenon of being 6 and 7 days. Not because they are equated. The mitzvah is not equated. Eit v'abai. Abai brings another proof to this. B'chol yom makifim et mizbeach pamachat. V'ozo yom sheva pi'amim. Every day they used to go around the mizbeach one time. And on that day they went around 7 times. Sounds familiar. Hoshanot. Every day of Sukkot we go around 1 time. Hoshana Rabbah we go around 7 times. My love, Ba'arava. Why are you going, what are you going around the Mizbeach with? Are you going around with the Arava? Or are you going around with the Lulav? Sounds like you're going around with the Arava. That's the mitzvah that goes around the Mizbeach. It says, lo, but Lulav. No, really, they did go around with the Lulav. That's what they walked around with. V'amar Rav Nachman Amar Barbua Barava. They actually went around with the Arava. I'm like, who Amar Barava? Ana Amina Bulav. He says they went around the Rava. I say they went around with the Lulav. Itmar, Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Bululav. We have now other memrot from Amoraim. Rabbi Lazar, who says they went around with the Lulav. Shmuel Bar Natan, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Barava. On the other hand, we have Shmuel Bar Natan, who says they went around with the Rava. V'chena Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravua, Barava. They all went around with the Rava, around the Mizbeach. Now it makes a difference. If they're going around with the Rava, that means the mitzvah of the Rava is simply to take it. If they went around with the Lulav, then the mitzvah of the Rava is the Kifa and the Mizbeach. The nafkamina is, does it exist after the mikdash is destroyed? That obviously has implications of why they did or did not do it inside of Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Rova, Rav Yitzchak, braid the Rabba Bar Ravua. So Rav Rova says to Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rabba Bar Ravuchana, Baruria. Baruria usually means a young Talmud Chocham, a person who is high rank in terms of their limud Torah. Taim alecha miltom aliyoto dava amar avuch. Let me tell you something great that your father used to say. Hadetznan, that which you have in the Mishnah, kol yom akifim et mizbeach pamachat. Ve'oto yom akifim et mizbeach sheva pamim, hachi amar avuch mishmei de Rabbi Lazar. This is what your father says in the name of Lazar, bilulav. That it's done bilulav, that's the way we pass in halacha, that the lulav is used in the Hoshanot. When we go around the Hoshanot, we do it with lulav, we don't do it with the arava. Once you've done that, you now say that the mitzvah arava is zekifa. If the mitzvah of arava is zekifa, then it's related to the mizbeach specifically. And that's what explained why in Eretz Yisrael they didn't have the practice to do it on the seventh day, even though they knew it could be Adayarcho, even though they knew what was going on in terms of the calendar, and there was no safek as to which day it was. Now, there are a number of things that are going on here. I want to mention them because we passed through them, and then again, we'll do a little more of this at the end of the Gemara today. One is that Rashi explains over here that the taking of the Arava outside of the Mikdash was done by Shluchei Beit Din, because the Gemara here assumes that Arava on the seventh day should somehow suspend Shabbat. I mean, suspend, I'm using that term loosely, but you should be able to take the Arava on the seventh day even though it's Shabbat. Lulav, on the first day, we don't allow you to take it because of Gzeira Darabo. Gzeira Darabo says, Shemi Yarvienu Dalamot be Rishut Arabim, because the Lulav is Masur Lakol, and Arava is Masur Lishluchei Beit Din. Now, when we're talking about post-Mikdash, when the Mikdash is no longer extant, who's taking the Arava? Tosfot already raises the issue, who's taking the Arava? Maybe it's the Hamonam. If the Hamonam is taking the Arava, then the Gzeira Darabo should come into place. So how come over there there's no Gzeira Darabo that comes into place that would cause you to suspend the mitzvah of Arava on the seventh day? Alright, so that might be, Tosfot does not like Rashi's answers, that might be the answer in the end here, is that Arava doesn't require anything. Meaning that Lulav, you have a Bracha, you have a Nyanuim, you have other things involved. But on the other hand, you still think by Lulav, you want to show it to the Baki, by the Arava, you might say the same thing. But that might be a distinction that would solve the problem. Rashi does something interesting here, and he says that, since there's nothing to worry about, why don't you take it on the seventh day? That the Shluchei Beit Din will take it on the seventh day, and they'll do the Chavatat Arava, the Farbas Samash, Shehibi Mikdash Min HaTorah. Make it clear that in the Mikdash, that's a Din Min HaTorah. Rashi says that even on the seventh day, when the Gemara here is discussing taking the Arava in order to show that it's a mitzvah d'oraita, it would only be the Shluchei Beit Din that would do it. It would not be the Hamun Am that would do it. It would be Shluchei Beit Din in the Gvulin would do it, Zecher LeMikdash, in order to show that it's a mitzvah d'oraita in the Mikdash, Arava. Tosfos says that's Dochuk. Where do we ever find such a concept that the Shluchei Beit Din are doing it outside of the Mikdash? Seems like Arava was done by everybody, not just by the Shluchei Beit Din, but Rashi is obviously dealing with the issue, which is, why does the Gzeira D'Rabba not apply here? Gzeira D'Rabba doesn't apply here because it's not done by everybody, it's only done by the Shluchei Beit Din. That's Rashi's solution to the problem. That's one issue that we have to deal with. The second issue is, why do B'nai Eretz Yisrael know about Kviya D'Archa and not the people in Bavel? So you could answer, and this is the way Rashi posits it. Rashi says that they were still being Mekadesh of Pi'ariya, even in Eretz Yisrael. This is post-Mikdash, there's still Mekadesh of Pi'ariya, and therefore it didn't reach the people in Bavel versus the people in Eretz Yisrael. That's the way Rashi solves the problem, which is interesting. It is true that the calendar was only set by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'ah, not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'ah, the Tana, the redactor of the Mishnah, but rather his grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'ah, who put in other takanot, he's the one who establishes the calendar. So there is a period of time when there is Kiddush al Pi'ariya, but it's a short period of time. It's not an extensive period of time, but it's Kiddush al Pi'ariya. Tosfos over here says, the truth is, everybody knows about Kviya D'Archa. Even in Bavel, they know about Kviya D'Archa, but Bavel is subject to the Gemara we're going to see in Beitza, which is Minha Gavutayim B'Yadayim, that they keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, even though they know B'Kviya D'Archa, even though they really do know, we keep it Shema Yekalkel or Shema Yachzor Adavar L'Kilkulo, maybe it'll go back to the old way, maybe we'll have a problem with Riyah in the future, whatever the reasons are, we'll get to that when we get to the Gemara in Beitza, but because of that, even in Bavel, they still practice 2 days. So since we're going to practice 2 days, we give it all the trappings of 2 days. Trapping of 2 days means that we look at it as a safek and not as an absolute in terms of the days. That's the way Tosafot deals with this issue. Obviously, that would have implications if you really believe, not like Tosafot, that when you do have Kviya D'Archa, that you would still take on Shabbat. Then even in Chutz La'aretz, you would take it on Shabbat. But that's not the practice here. It's clear the Gemara believes only in Eretz Yisrael would that happen. And so far, the Gemara concluded that that is the case. That in Eretz Yisrael, you should take the Lulav on Shabbat when Yom Tov falls out on the first day. Anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael that knows that's not the case. So we'll have to deal with that, why that is. All right, we'll get to that by the end of the Gemara. The other thing Tosfot deals with is the suspension of mitzvot, which turns out to be something very interesting here, is that the Gemara is going to have a case where, when it comes to shofar and it comes to lulav, which are mitzvot de'oraita, in that instance, they're not going to be dochet Shabbat. That means we're going to suspend the mitzvah of shofar on the first day of Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah. We're going to suspend lulav on the first day of Yom Tov. And arava, we're going to do on the seventh day. Arava, which is now a mitzvah de'rabbanon, because it's zeichah de'mikdash. So Arava, which is Zeichon HaMikdash, is going to suspend Shabbat, and we're going to do Arava on Shabbat, Kedei Lefar Sama, that's Min HaTorah. Shofar and Lulav, which are actually Doraita, we're not going to do. That's what it says. It makes no sense. Today, our calendar takes into consideration the fact that we don't want Hoshana Rabbah to fall out on Shabbat so that we can perform the mitzvah Rabbah. Yet our calendar doesn't take into consideration that the first day of Rosh Hashanah and the first day of Sukkot should not fall out on Shabbat. They would be the same consideration since they fall out 2 weeks apart. But we don't make any changes to the calendar to ensure that it doesn't fall out on Shabbat. Why is that? Why are we giving so much power to Arava and doing it versus Shofar and Lulav? Also, its answer is Yom Tov Sheni. That's exactly why. Because for the same reason, the Hoshana Rabbah is only one day. Hoshana Rabbah can't have 2 days because of Yom HaShmini, the problem of Shmini Atzeret. So you can't have Hoshana Rabbah be again on the eighth day because then it would overlap with Shmini Atzeret and cause a problem. Hoshana Rabbah is always only one day. If you suspended it when it fell out on Shabbat, it would go away entirely. You would have no Arava that year. And Arava is already a weak mitzvah. If you suspended it completely on that year, it would fall into disuse or people would have questions about the mitzvah Arava. On the other hand, by Shofar, if you don't blow it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you blow it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Lulav, you don't take it on the first day of Yom Tov, you take it on the second day of Yom Tov. So Lulav and Shofar have manifestations outside of the first day. So therefore, if we suspend it, we're not so worried about it falling out of favor or having people forget about the mitzvah because the mitzvah still exists, just except for the first day. On the other hand, by Arava, if you suspend it in the year that it falls out on Shvi, it would be completely eliminated because that's the only day that we have the Arava now. The only day we do Chavata to Arava is on Hoshana Rabbah. If you would suspend it when it coincided with Shabbat, you wouldn't have it whatsoever because there's no makeup day for that. There's no additional day in which we do it. Right, so that's the reason that Tosafot gives or tries to explain that difference between Shofar Lulav versus Arava. Now the Gemara continues. Eitzvei, Lulav dochet Shabbat b'tzkilato, v'arava b'sofo. Lulav is dochet Shabbat in the beginning, on the first day, Arava on the end. Pamachat chal shvi shal Arava liot b'shabbat. Here's an instance when the seventh day coincided with Shabbat. Hoshana Rabbah fell out on Shabbat. Ve'viu marbiot shal Arava mi'be'erv Shabbat. They brought bunches of Aravot, young saplings of Aravot for Shabbat. Ve'nichum ba'azara. And they placed them in the Azara, obviously to use on Shabbat of the seventh day. Ve'kiru behen baitusim. The baitusim who are similar to the tztukim. They're two talmidim, or same type of group, same idea, that only things that are written in the Torah do they keep. And Arava is certainly not one of those things that's written in the Torah explicitly. It's either Halacha Moshe B'Sinai or hinted to at a pasuk. So they don't believe in it. So they got wind of this. Ve'nat lum. They stole the Aravot from the Mikdash. Ve'kavshum tachat avanim. And they placed them under rocks. Rocks, muksa. So they knew that the Rabbanan, if they placed them under the rocks, the Rabbanan wouldn't go get them on Shabbat. So therefore, they would prevent the Arava from being done in the Mikdash on Shabbat. Muksa de Rabbanan is a problem, not for them, but for the Prushim. So what they did was they stole the Aravot, stuck them under muksa so that they wouldn't be able to use them on Shabbat. The Machar Yikiru Behem Amei Aretz. The Amei Aretz, who were not well-versed in Halacha, got wind of what had happened. V'shamtum Mitachat Avanim. They went ahead. They're Amei Aretz. They don't know that it's a problem on muksa. They went ahead and took them out from underneath the rocks. V'vium. They brought them to the Mikdash. And therefore, V'vium HaKohanim V'zakfu Mitzidei Mizbech. And they ended up performing the mitzvah of Arava in the Mikdash. The fee, Shein Baitusim Modim, Shechivut Arava Docheta Shabbat. Because the Baitusim don't believe that Chivut Arava is Docheta Shabbat, because they don't believe it's a mitzvah Doraita whatsoever. It ended up, they got it back to the Mikdash, and they performed the mitzvah on Shabbat. Alma, Benitilohi. You see here that the mitzvah is simply to take it. Tiyuvto. Now we have a serious issue here, because if the mitzvah is only Netilah, then it should exist even post-Mikdash period. And Velo Nidchu. Let it be Zdoche Shabbat in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, where they know Kviyat Diarcha, they should take the Arava on that day. Now, why is it that the Kohanim performed the mitzvah? Obviously, the Aravot are brought by the Shluchei Bitin before Shabbat. Right, so that's what was done in order to prevent the problem of violating Shabbat. The mitzvah is done by the Kohanim in the Mikdash, not because Kohanim Zvizimei, and therefore we don't worry about the violations of Shabbat. The reason is because of the location. The where the Arava was done is by the Mizbeach. Ben Ulam the Mizbeach, the only people that are allowed there are Kohanim, not the Israelim. As Rashi says, Avisrael Oya Nechnas Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. Umayektani Chibut Arava Michlal B'diyad Notlim Ota Umananim Umakifim Ba Kohanim Et Mizbeach Uraglehem V'achakach Zukfim Ota. The fact that they describe this as Chibut Arava makes it sound like there's more to the mitzvah than just simply standing it up by the Mizbeach. They're carrying it around, they're banging it on the ground, they're doing nanuim with the arava. That's part of the practice on Shana Rabbah, to shake the arava, not just to bang it on the ground, but actually shake it like the lulav. Because of this idea, Rashi mentions it here as well, that they're minanim. They used to shake the arava. That means that the mitzvah arava involves more than simply standing it up by the mizbeach. If that's the case, it should apply outside the mikdash, or post-mikdashic period, it should also apply. If that's the case, I don't understand why it has no application in Eretz Yisrael. So Mar says, Keman de'anan lo dachinan, inu nami lo dachu. So here you have an unbelievable statement of the Gemara. Since in Bavel, we don't allow it to suspend Shabbat, so too in Eretz Yisrael, they don't allow it to suspend Vayom Tov Rishon, Dilidan lo dachi, lididhu dachi. Wait a minute, if you're doing that, how come on the first day, before the Gemara concluded that on the first day of Yom Tov, when it coincides with Shabbat, in Bavel, they did not take the lulav. In Eretz Yisrael, they did take the lulav. How come by Arava, we say, oh, Bnei Eretz Yisrael have to conform to what they do in Bavel? So in Bavel, we don't take Arava on the seventh day, so too in Eretz Yisrael. Why don't we say the same thing by the first day? Imri, lidu nami lo dochi. Conclusion is, no. Even for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to lulav, it does not suspend the Shabbat. That means nobody takes lulav on Shabbat, whether you're in Chutz Laretz or whether you're in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Bavel. Rashi claims over here the issue is Shalot Sot Yisrael Gudot Agudot. So they shouldn't become multiple practices within Klal Yisrael. Shouldn't be that one neighborhood does it like this, one neighborhood does it like this. You end up with mitzvot that are different all over the place. We don't want that. We want a certain amount of consistency amongst the people. We don't have a locha that in Eretz Yisrael they're taking on Shabbat and Chutz Laretz they're not taking it on Shabbat. It's a very interesting, I'll speak about this in a minute. Velakasha Hanitarte. What about the two Mishnayot that you asked about before? There was one Mishnah that said they did it in Beit HaKnesset, and one Mishnah that said they did it in Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat. How do we solve that problem before? We said one of them was when the Mikdash was extant, one of them was then post-Mikdash, and that's why it said Beit Knesset. What are you going to do with those two Mishnayot now? So Tana Chada, Kol Amaluchim et Luduvayim Lahar HaBayit, Tanidach LeBeit HaKnesset. Umir Tartzina, the way we answered it before, is Kan Bezman SheBeit HaMikdash Kayam, Kan Bezman SheEin Beit HaMikdash Kayam. Lo, Idi VeIdi Bezman SheBeit HaMikdash Kayam. They're both set at the time that the Mikdash is extant. Lokasha, Kan BeMikdash, Kan BeGvulin. One of them was teaching you that the din in the Mikdash, that you do it on Shabbat, and the other one was telling you that in the Gvulin, when the first day of Yom Tov coincided with Shabbat, they did take lulav on the first day. Meaning that time period, they still, when the Mikdash was extant, in Eretz Yisrael, they did take lulav when the first day coincided with Shabbat. It's only in the post-Mikdash period, in which Bavel did not take the lulav on Shabbat, not just because of Safek, but because of Lo Bikia B'Kviya D'Yarcho, but that's Minhag Avotem B'Yadam. Then that carried back over to Eretz Yisrael, and they stopped taking lulav on Shabbat in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is a very interesting phenomenon. And I'll just say that in general, by Sukkot, it seems to be by the holiday of Sukkot, that the Gula or Bavel had significant influence on Eretz Yisrael. In many other places, we don't find that. We find that Bavel is subject to the dinim of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael governs. Over here, all of a sudden, we see the shift of power to Bavel. And Bavel is governing to the point where they're suspending mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael because of what's done in Bavel. That's a very unique phenomenon. We don't find that all the time. We find it in some places. And I think it's particular to Sukkot. It's very interesting that on the holiday Sukkot, there are many things that are done in Eretz Yisrael that all have to do with the Gola. One of them is this, that we don't take lulav when Shabbat coincides with Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbat. We don't take lulav in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's clear from the Mishnayot, it's clear from even the Gemara that you should. No, because of Bavel. Because Bavel does and we don't. Another one of those phenomena is Simchas Torah. Simcha Torah does not exist in Eretz Yisrael. Simcha Torah is invention of the Gola to deal with 2 days of Yom Tov. Shmini Atzeret has no mitzvot. Shmini Atzeret is sitting with God. You can't have 2 days of Shmini Atzeret. What are you going to do for 2 days of Shmini Atzeret? Shmini Atzeret, there's no mitzvah, absolutely nothing to do. It's to be together with Hashem. It's like that grand finale day. So you can't do it for 2 days. So what do? In the Gola, they put the second day of Yom Tov. They made it into Simcha Torah. They give character to the second day. All of a sudden, in Eretz Yisrael, Simcha Torah shows up now. That they're doing it together on Shmini Atzeret. In Eretz Yisrael, Simcha Torah did not exist. Simcha Torah starts later on, the time of the Gonim, in Chutz Laretz. It has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. That is a pullback from the Gola back into Eretz Yisrael. We have it also by the leaning, we have the Torah, where we don't lean from Parshat Re'eh in Sukkot because of the problem in Chutz Laretz. They're going to lean from Parshat Re'eh on Shmini Atzeret. So therefore, we never lean from Shmini Atzeret. Even though on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, would it make more sense to lean from Parshat Re'eh than to read from the Parshat Kitisa where we read. We read from Parshat Kitisa where there's one mention of the three regalim. It would make much more sense to read from Parshat Re'eh in Eretz Yisrael. Why don't we read from Parshat Re'eh? Because in Chutz La'aretz, they read Parshat Re'eh on Shmini Atzeret. We don't read it on Shmini Atzeret because we end up reading for Simchat Torah. So all of these things are phenomenon that came from the Gola that have heavy influence over Sukkot. And that's why I think it's interesting that the Holiday of Sukkot in particular has so much influence from Bavel, and you see it here in the Gemara as well with regards to taking of the lulav on the first day.
Why would we have...
So Tosfa points out, this is what you asked at the beginning of this year, which is, what about shofar versus lulav? It turns out that during the time of the Mikdash, that lulav was given more power than shofar. And the time of the post-Mikdashic period, shofar is given more power than lulav. And the time of the Mikdash, when Shabbat coincides with the first day of Yom Tov, they only blew shofar in the Mikdash, not in the Gvulin. On the other hand, when it comes to lulav, they took lulav in Mikdash, and they took lulav in the Gvulin. On the other hand, post-Mikdashic period, then lulav was only taken in the Mikdash, technically, but there is no Mikdash, so it never happens. Whereas by shofar, they blew it in any Beit Din. Anywhere there was a Beit Din, they blew shofar. So Tosfot says, first of all, when it comes to shofar versus lulav, shofar is a chokhmah versus lulav. So there's more issue of people carrying the shofar to go to the baki than a lulav. That's what we see. You were asking about lulav. So they really take it to the baki. By shofar, there's more reason. So therefore, during the Mikdashic period, shofar was not allowed to be blown in the gvulin because of gzeira d'rabba. Whereas gzeira d'rabba did not apply to lulav on the first day because there's less issue there. On the other hand, the post-Mikdash period, they blow the shofar in every Beit Din on Shabbat. But lulav is never taken on Shabbat, and that he says is because shofar is part of Yale Zichronam Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's such an important part of Rosh Hashanah that they wanted to have some semblance of it outside of the Mikdash or post-Mikdash on Shabbat. So they allowed it in all the Batei Dinim, not just in the Mikdash. But that means that lulav afterwards on Shabbat, they didn't do it anywhere. Shofar, they did in every Beit Din post the Mikdashic period because of the importance of shofar to deal with Rosh Hashanah.
But in Eretz Yisrael,
shofar has a, even in Eretz Yisrael you have a problem with shofar because the Shluchei Beit Din didn't reach. Only the people in Yerushalayim knew when Rosh Hashanah was. Nobody else knew when Rosh Hashanah was. So therefore the problem of Gvi'ah D'Yachra applies outside of Yerushalayim. Everybody shouldn't blow shofar post Mikdashic period because they're subject to the same rules as Bavel. So that's why shofar doesn't apply on Shabbat outside when it's not Beit Din, because they wouldn't have known. In Eretz Yisrael, where they would have known by the time of Lulav, there we suspended because of Bnei Bavel. Shofar, in Eretz Yisrael, nobody knew about the first day, because Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Chodesh itself. So even people outside of Yerushalayim had no clue when Rosh Hashanah was. They kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. They did. The Batei Dinim were given special permission to suspend the problem of Rabbah. But the Homonam didn't blow shofar in Eretz Yisrael outside of the Mikdash area because of the problem of Shemir Yavirenu Da'ad Amot, because they didn't know Kviyat Diyarch outside of Yerushalayim. All right, let's stop over here.